Tonight, we'll take a little time to explore one of the parables. And what I'd like to do is start off with Luke chapter 15. If you will, go ahead and turn with me there. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We know that Jesus sets the example that calling the lost to repentance is the most important thing that can be done. But as we go through the sermon this evening, have you ever wondered why Jesus in this parable leaves the 99 in the wilderness to go after that single lost sheep? That is why I want to focus tonight on the 99 safe sheep and take a deeper dive into those. And how are these sheep counted as safe so much by Jesus that it was enough to leave them alone in the wilderness? We're going to look at a few points of how the 99 are. First and foremost, turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse 27. And I appreciate the scripture reading that was done. Starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The 99 that the shepherd left in this parable, they know the shepherd's voice. And they obey his word, such as what we just found there. The sheep that we are talking about tonight, they know the gospel. They have obeyed the gospel. They follow Christ through the gospel. What happens to those sheep? We saw in verse 28, they're given eternal life. Jesus says, no man will pluck them out of my hand. The 99 also do not fear death. As such, like a lion or a bear that may come and take one away. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start reading at chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The 99 do not fear death from such a lion or a bear, again, that we were just stating a minute ago. But if you will, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. And let's look at something here that possibly the 99 are afraid of. Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 28. tells us, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We look at the 99, they don't fear the stuff that's temporary. They fear the things that are eternal. They only fear God. But let's talk about, should one of them actually die of the 99? Turn with me to Psalms 116. Take a look at the scripture from the Old Testament about this. Psalm chapter 116. And in verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Should one die out of the 99? Jesus said that no man shall pluck him out of my hand. Even more so, the Father that holds the souls in his hand, as we remember from John chapter 10, no one shall pluck them out of the Father's hand either. But the 99 that's mentioned in the parable as well as being just, they were safe enough to leave alone, but they're also on the watch for certain things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We understand that the 99 are on the watch for wolves. They're safe enough there that they can... They're trusted enough that if wolves come in with sheep-like appearance, that these that try to enter the flock to destroy the soul, to pull them away, the weaker ones, these wolves we know as false prophets, they try to lead them away from the flock. But how are the 99 watchful for these false prophets, these wolves? Well, I think it's important to notice that the flock, as they were trusted to be left alone, each of these 99 sheep, they have roles in the flock. They have certain aspects and jobs that they must do. So, for the time left, we're going to look and see how each of these 99 have roles in the flock. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, a very common scripture that we use a lot, but it drives home a very serious point. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are safer as a flock when we are together. We must be together in fellowship to be safe. When we forsake the assembly, we risk becoming that lost sheep. So I want to talk some more about individual roles of the 99. The ones that are just, the ones that are trusted to be counted safe, to leave, to risk it all, to go to get the lost sheep. What are some of the roles of the 99? Because each of them play a part in how all of this fits together. Well, first, we look at some of the roles as, turn with me to Acts chapter 14. And in verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended to the Lord on whom they believed. Elders were ordained in every church. Turn with me over. Actually, I'm just going to read this one here. Elders were ordained in every church, as we've read about in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. But Titus 1:9 tells us they are to hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, by sound doctrine, to exhort, and to convince the gainsayers. Of course, I had to look up what gainsayers was just to have a better understanding, as we would in certain aspects of words within the scriptures. And opposer, one who contradicts or denies what is alleged. So elders who hold fast the faith word as he has been taught by sound doctrine to exhort and convince the gainsayers, those that oppose, those that contradict, those that denies what is alleged. The elders, they guide the flock. They feed the flock, and they are examples to the flock, like what we're going to read. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And starting in verse 1, how we are a flock here, are blessed enough to have the elders and all the members here. We're going to continue to dive through some of the individual roles. But 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The elders are part of the roles of the 99. We understand that there are deacons as well. I myself am one. We have three others as well. Deacons were established. Each member is important. And as we continue to look through these, the various members that we have throughout the flock, let's start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to understand a certain aspect of that. Again, of scripture very commonly used, but it holds so much value when we speak about the different roles and understanding how the entire unit of the 99 works together as a group and individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much as more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Each member is important. Each member has their own role. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for something very specific, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Again, each member is important. Each member plays a crucial part. So what kind of members help make up this 99? Well, to begin, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 2, what do we read? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There are new members of that flock. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. New members, babes in Christ, young men that we just read about, older men, let's go up to verse 2. That the aged men, they be sober, they be grave, they be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We have new members, we have young men, we have older men, we have older women. Verse 3. What about our older women as well? But hath in due times, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We have new members. We have young men. We have older men, older women, younger women, to learn likewise from all of these. A very crucial part to play in every aspect. But it doesn't stop there. Because just as much as we have individual roles, we have a role to play in this all together. Drop down to verse 11 of chapter 2 in Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 15. The 99. They must continue to study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now turn over to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Starting in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The 99 are servants of the Lord. They know the shepherd's voice. They obey the word. And they are servants of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt or able to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When we are servants of the Lord, we can recover those that don't believe in the truth in God's word. We can recover them out of the snare of the devil. We are all to become perfect through the word of God. We spoke about a little bit about this morning in Bible class, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. All scripture, just one page over, at least for me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we get ready to close, the 99 are safe when every member of the flock is doing their part. Corralled around the weak, I think of how they used to do with the wagons back in the day. They always put the weaker on the inside, the stronger on the outside. Corralled around the weak, the stronger watching over the inner. We are trusted by the shepherd, found righteous and safe enough. He was willing to risk everything to go after a lost sheep. When every member is doing their part, the will of God continues to be fulfilled. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 as we prepare to close. Starting at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit promises. When God sends his son to come to claim his own, he will not forget our works. Therefore, he won't forget us. Tonight, if you are not part of that flock that is found by the shepherd as safe and secure, and you want to be added to the flock, the church, you can tonight. You have that opportunity to do so. In order to be added by God to the church, steps that lead to salvation, to hear Romans 10:17, to believe Hebrews 11:6, to repent Acts 2:38, to make that confession Acts 8:37, be baptized and walk in newness of life, we think about in Romans 6:1-4. That offer stands if you're not part of that flock. But if you are and you've fallen away and you need to make things right, let us know if we can help you in any way as you come forward and as we sing.